Well, amen. Praise the Lord for another special there tonight. What a blessing it already has been just being in the Lord's house this Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, starting a brand new series on Wednesday nights here tonight. We've gone through for some time, last few years now, in teaching on and studying on the life of Elijah, and then we went into the life of Elisha. And what a tremendous blessing it is to learn those biblical principles from these Bible characters that God has recorded in the Scriptures. And tonight we're starting on a brand new one, another Bible character by the name of Joshua, the name of Joshua. And so if you would stand with me tonight, we're going to be reading here Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, what a blessing it is to read what you have recorded concerning your challenge and encouragement to the man Joshua that you would use to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And God, you have this recorded for us here today in this 21st century, that we might be able to study these historical facts, but also to learn of these biblical principles concerning our God. And those principles we can apply even to our lives today. I pray that you would just meet with us, help each and every one of us to have that ear to hear what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. One of the most positive of all the Bible characters is the man Joshua. He is a man that we need to study and receive everything that God has recorded for us to receive from the life of Joshua. There's no revealed scars on his testimony, which is really something special. Even David, the man after God's own heart, there was a couple scars on David's testimony. But yet we look at the man Joshua and we find no revealed scars. Now we know he was a sinner, as all men, but God has not recorded any of these negative things about Joshua, and so no scars found on his testimony. One of the greatest leaders that Israel has ever known was this man, Joshua. As we go through and we study on the life of Joshua, and every time we study a new Bible character, we have a theme from that Bible character. And the theme that I want you to just be aware of as we're studying the life of Joshua is that we can live victoriously no matter what the circumstances of our life. In Christ, we are victors, conquerors. We can overcome, and we can do all things. Whatever God would have us to do, no matter what the circumstances, with God, and we look at the promises that God made not only to Moses, but now that Moses is dead, the promises he's making to Joshua, we serve that very same God. And as we study through the life of Joshua, we'll find that God was faithful to Joshua, to enable him to live a victorious life no matter what he had to face. And there were several very tough situations that Joshua would have to face, but as he looked to God, he always got the victory. So for the next couple weeks, a couple lessons, we're going to be looking at the credentials for the task. Joshua's credentials. Just why Joshua? How did God prepare Joshua for the task? This is a huge task. I mean, he's following in the footsteps of one of the greatest of all time leaders, Moses. Joshua would have to follow in the footsteps of this great giant of a leader, Moses. And why Joshua? What did God do in Joshua's life to prepare him for such a task? Can I tell you, we serve a sovereign God who is very much aware of where he planted you. Amen. What family he put you in. Everything about your DNA was in God's control. Where he allowed you to be born on planet Earth was in God's control. And all of that is for a purpose. Whatever God has allowed, not that God causes everything in our lives, but he has to allow it. And so whatever God has allowed in our lives is for a purpose and the possibility of using that in a great way, a positive way. And so what are Joshua's credentials? Just what took place? Now we know a few things here. Joshua was 85 years old when Moses died. He would live to about 110. But he was 85 years old when Moses died. He would have been around 40-ish when leaving Egypt, because it took them a few years before they ever got to the land of Canaan to start with, and they were put back out into the wilderness for 40 years. And so some were around 40 years of age when they actually was coming out of Egypt. So Joshua now would be 40 years old under the leadership of Moses coming out of Egypt. If you look with me to Exodus in chapter 1, I think one of the first things we learn about Joshua's credentials would be found right here. Exodus in chapter 1. These are things that we can know about Joshua without really having it spelled out for us. That's why we have the entire Bible. God has purpose in giving us the entire Bible so that when we research things, we can learn certain things, as we'll find here tonight concerning Joshua. We find that no doubt that God used Joseph to take the nation of Israel into the land of Egypt. And as long as Joseph was alive, then Egypt was very kind to the nation of Israel. Pharaoh gave Israel the very best of the land. He gave Joseph's family some of the best grazing ground. He gave Joseph's family some of the best land that he could have. And this is very unusual for any nation, especially back in that day. But this is how much that the Pharaoh of Egypt appreciated what Joseph had done for the nation of Egypt. And so he blesses Joseph's family to the place where Joseph's family now is growing in numbers, huge numbers. God has them there to develop this great nation of Israel under the protection of one of the greatest armies at that time, the Egyptian army. And so they were very safe and secure, and they were growing and they were multiplying in the land until Joseph died and then that Pharaoh died. And so we find here in Exodus in chapter 1 and verse 11, this is what took place. Therefore, they did eat set over them after Joseph died and after the Pharaoh died. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. Now, we could continue to study there, but what I want you to get to see is that when Joshua was born, he was born into slavery. When he was born in Egypt underneath taskmasters. His whole family's at this time now, this would be later on in, they were in Egypt around 200 years, and so about, this is 160 years into their captivity there in Egypt. Now they're no longer the blessing to Egypt, but the new pharaohs have made them slaves. Now this great nation of Jews living in Egypt are slaves. And they're working them to death. They're trying to get rid. They're trying to keep them from growing and multiplying. And so starting to try to kill the firstborn, the babies of the Jews. And so Joshua would have been born at one of the most worst times in the nation of Israel's history in Egypt. This is about the time that the cry was going out to God to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage. So Joshua would have been raised in these conditions. 40 years in these conditions, Joshua would have been a slave. I believe he was possibly even tasked as he got older with something to do with Egyptian military. They would have been having slaves doing all kinds of different things, and they would have slaves serving all the different areas in Egypt. Because of what God prepared Joseph to do, and he would be the captain of the host, he would be in charge of the military under Moses, I believe he was possibly tasked with doing something that helped prepare him to understand how to prepare a military, how to prepare soldiers. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but we know what was taking place and what kind of skills that Joshua would have as they come out of Egypt. So they're in Egypt, even though he was a slave, he was somewhat being trained by the Egyptian army. Somewhat like David, the first thing we learn about him is that he had a very humble beginning. A beginning that no one would say, well, that slave's going to one day become one of the greatest leaders in the nation of Israel and lead Israel to conquer the land of Canaan. No one would have thought that of Joshua. He's a slave. Just like David, a shepherd boy. Nobody ever saw this shepherd boy becoming the next king of Israel. He had so many other brothers that were suited for that position. He was just a shepherd boy and one of the smallest of all the boys, and yet with God, the shepherd boy became one of the greatest kings of Israel. With God, this slave underneath the Egyptian army became one of the greatest leaders that Israel would ever know. A humble beginning to a glorious position of service to God. Which, when we look at that and we understand that, with God, all things are possible. He can take a little bus child like my wife and use her as a pastor's wife to affect every year 50 churches, 650 ladies coming to a ladies' conference through the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Never know what God's going to do with possibly little bus kids that run around the church. You never know what God's going to do with your child. Yeah, if you raise them right, give them the best opportunity possible to become all that God wants them to be. God allowed them to be born in your home. He has tasked you with raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He's given you a good church to bring them to help you to raise them. You never know what God has in store. You look back at what God's done in the past. He's the same God today. And he's got some very important things that need to be done, not only in this century, but the next and on until he calls a church home. Just how God will use your child. A humble beginning to glorious service to God. It's possible. I think of the Apostle Paul and what we have in the New Testament that helps us to understand this very same principle here in 1 Timothy. Let me just read it to you. 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 12. I love what Paul writes understanding this. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about the grace of God. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And he put Paul into the ministry and became one of the greatest apostles, writing 14 of the New Testament books. God's still doing that today. We just never know who he's going to put his hand upon and how he's going to work through those humble beginnings. Well, he was born in Egypt as a slave. Joshua was the firstborn. If we look there in Joshua chapter 1, it tells us he was born of Nun. He was the firstborn of Nun of the tribe of Ephraim. Now, that's important too. Because in Egypt, he realized he was a firstborn. Look at Exodus chapter 12 with me. The Bible tells us what went on right before they come out of Egypt. Joshua had been raised there a slave for some 40 years now. And now you come down to the end. After being able to witness the power of God through the plagues that he put on Egypt, Joshua would have witnessed every one of them. And he knew the powerful hand of God. And now he hears the firstborn in all Egypt are going to die. And the only way that they can be salvaged, the only way that the firstborn will not die, whether it be from the Jews or whether it be the Egyptians, the firstborn of both, if their parents do not take and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their home, this night, the death angel is going to come through and the firstborn will die. Can you imagine being a firstborn on that night? Now, it's not, Joshua would have experienced this. You'd already seen the mighty hand of God at work, and everything that Moses said was going to come take place, it took place. Powerful plagues. Just as Moses said God was going to judge, he judged. So, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Do you think that would have made an impression on your life? Especially during the middle of the night, I don't think you would have slept if you was the firstborn. And you would hear the screams all around the land, and not only those dying, but the parents of those who lost their children because they didn't put the blood over the doorposts. Yeah. He realized he was the one being protected by the blood. As we heard the blood special tonight, what a blessing that was. So, from that night forward, he would have remembered that night and what the blood did for him. I'm just telling you what the Bible reveals that prepared him for the task ahead. The credentials to be able to be used by God as God wanted to use him, he would have remembered that night. Can I tell you, we need to remember those things that God has done for us. Use them as motivation to do right. Use them as motivation to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. Have you ever been fearful? Maybe prayed through, maybe prayed all night long, God, heal my baby. Well, one of the things that Crystal, our firstborn, 10 days old, she got a virus. And back then, I mean, this is a long time ago, they had her in a little isolate. They had to shave her head. They put her in isolate. And they said, we don't know. It's a virus. We don't know if she's going to respond to the medication. And her heartbeat was going like 200 beats. And it was they couldn't do anything else. He said, it's a 50-50. If she makes it through the night, it's a good chance that she'll survive. I was on my face for hours that night. It impacted my life. I said, God, if you'll save my baby. I'll serve you for my life. God gave me a peace about 3 o'clock in the morning. I went back to the room. They said about a half hour before I got in there, the things turned around. The medication started working. I'll never forget that. What, 34 years ago? I don't know how old Crystal is. She was 10 days old, so I'm telling her age, I think. But God took away my fear that night. God ever taken away your fear? God answered a prayer for you? God done something special, like salvation? Remember that. Don't ever forget that. When you're going through some of the toughest times, if you want victory, if you want to get the victory that Joshua would get, you have to remember. God allowed him to be the firstborn to go through that night. To survive that night when all the other firstborns that didn't have the blood died, perished. I love what Peter writes in 2 Peter, and I'll just read it to you, but write it down if you'd like to study it when you get home tonight. But 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 12, he says this, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Some of the toughest times that we go through, if you just fall back on your memories and what God done, it'll get you through it. It'll allow you to be victorious in whatever it is that you're facing. Yeah. Remembrance. Credentials for the task. I think it's somewhat the same God working in all of our lives. Yeah. Humble beginning. Remembering what God has done for him. And then lastly, tonight, this is all I'm going to give you tonight, but this is a powerful one. Exodus chapter 17. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 9, is the very first mention of the name Joshua, Joshua's name. Now we know his age and all the things that took place. We know all these other things were part of this, but now we come down to when the Bible actually mentions the name of Joshua. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. All right, now they're out of Egypt and God is working through them, but these are slaves. These are not military people. And the military army came up against them. Amalek came up. This would be the first military battle that they would have to face. And Moses said unto, here it is, Joshua. Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. The first mention of Joshua, and Joshua, we find here, was given the task by Moses to assemble Israel's army, to figure out, to choose the ones that could go out to battle, to get them trained, and to defend their nation. Now, what I find here, and the credentials for this ultimate task of leading Israel into the land of the promise, was that Moses had confidence in Joshua. Amen. He chose Joshua because of something that he had seen in Joshua for the 40 years of Joshua's life, and what he had seen there lately, and knowing what he was prepared to do. And he put it in Joshua's hands to defend the nation of Israel. You go and you pick out the warriors and you prepare the army. I'll go up and I'll hold up my hand and I'll be asking for God's power, but I need you to lead the army into battle. Moses had confidence in Joshua because Joshua was a dependable, faithful servant. The credentials for the task is faithful. Can I tell you that's something that every one of us here can be? You might not have a lot of abilities, and God's not looking for the abilities as much as he's looking for dependability. He's looking for someone that's going to be dependable and faithful to the task. We find the Lord Jesus Christ, he reveals to us this very powerful truth concerning this idea of being faithful in Matthew chapter 24. And we learn this, and this is something that we learn from Joshua. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45, the Bible says this, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant." The Bible says, and Jesus is teaching his disciples, his apostles, and he says, blessed is the faithful servant. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Faithfulness. In chapter 25 and verse 21, the Bible says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. I want you to get this. Moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. The Bible has much to say about the need to be faithful. The book of Psalms, let me just read to you just a couple psalms here. Just get a hold of this. Listen to me as I read them to you. This is from the Word of God. In Psalms chapter 31, first of all, Psalms chapter 31 and verse 23, it says, O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. God rewards the faithful. Psalms 101, verses 1 through 6, the Bible says this, I will sing of mercies and judgment unto thee, O Lord. I will sing. I will behave myself wisely in perfect way. O when thou wilt thou come unto me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person who privily slandereth his neighbor. Him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful. God says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Not only did Moses find Joshua to be a faithful servant, but God likewise would have future plans for Joshua because of his faithfulness. In closing, Exodus in chapter 17. After Moses chose Joshua and gave him the green light to prepare the army that would defend the nation, in that very same chapter, in chapter 17 and verse 13, the Bible says this, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Victory. Exodus 17, verse 13, victory. Because he was being faithful. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Just keep rehearsing it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out of the remembrance of the Amalek from under heaven. God had a purpose. Not only did Moses have a purpose for Joshua, God would have a purpose for Joshua in leading Israel into the promised land. Joshua knew where he came from. A very humble beginning. And he looked to be a faithful servant to his God. When I was 21, the Lord had taken my father to heaven, 59, 2 years younger than I am. God had been working in my life. I'd been running from the Lord for some time. God had blessed me He allowed me to have a lot at that time. I was going in a career, I had whatever. But at that moment, a 21-year-old man, the death of my father, I stood over his dead body. Just died. Thank God for how my father was an influence to me. And I said, God, I don't know what you have for me to do. But one thing I'll start doing from now on, I'll faithfully serve you I didn't know exactly what God was going to do in my life. But I remember from that day I started attending an independent fundamental Baptist church, Lawrence Baptist Church. I committed to being faithful to every service. I was there as a 21-year-old. Now, I didn't look like a church goer at that point, particular time. I had a little bit longer hair and wore a little different clothes than what the people in the church wore. I was 21. That was 40 years ago. If you see pictures of me 40 years ago, it might surprise you. I've not always wore a suit and tie and had short hair. Not always done that. And I didn't know all what was going on, but I knew this. I was going to serve God. I changed my lifestyle, changed a lot of things. I wanted to go to a church where I was going to hear the Word of God being preached. Didn't look for entertainment. I wanted a better understanding of who God was. I went to an independent fundamental Baptist church. I started hearing the Word of God preached. I said, I'm going to be faithful. I was there Sunday morning, Sunday school, morning worship, evening, Wednesday night. Every time the church doors were open, I was there. After being there a little bit, I started understanding, if I'm going to get involved in this church, I need to cut my hair. I need to change. I need to start wearing a little bit more appropriate apparel. No one told me that. I just observed that. I wasn't dumb. But all that came from a commitment I had in my heart to be faithful. And once I started being faithful to the services, I started growing. I started learning. I got involved in the youth ministries, children's ministries to start with. I met my wife. I committed to serving God. I started being used. God started using me with older youth. My wife and I got married. And right after marriage, we got put into a youth ministry position. I was going to Bible college. I wanted to get more. I was going to church. I committed to going to church, but I also wanted to get better, even greater understanding. I started going to a Bible college, and night classes, taking classes, wanted to increase my understanding of the Bible. But it all started over my father's cold, dead body. I committed to being faithful. As far as I know, since that day, I've never not been faithful. There's not been a service that I've missed that I should have been in, could have been in. I'm not filled with a lot of ability. I'm really not. But I've been doing something now, the same thing, for some 41 years. Being faithful. Can I tell you tonight, the credentials that God is looking for? Faithfulness. Everyone here can commit your life to being faithful to God. I get every head bowed and every eye closed. Wow. Joshua, I've been preparing for this and been looking ahead, excited about this series. Probably the most important thing about the life of Joshua is his credentials. We have more that I want to give to you next lesson, but these credentials is what God's looking for. And with these credentials, it's a victorious Christian life. No matter what you're facing, there's victory. I'm going to have a musical invitation. If God's speaking to you tonight, if there's something, maybe tonight would be the night that you have determined to commit to faithfulness. God blesses faithfulness. There's no doubt about it. And it's something all of us can do. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you for the opportunity that you've made available to each one of us to be here tonight. Thank you for meeting with us and the blessings of service. I just pray, God, this message now would just stick in our hearts and our minds, and that we would want to learn from the credentials of a Joshua and see how that we can meet those very same credentials. Mostly, help us to be faithful. Bless now as we get ready to leave. Get us home safely. In Jesus' name.